Hello, everyone. Welcome to the news brief on the unofficial WWE podcast. I am your host, Amanda Jin. I'm reporting on this evening, November the 4th. I have to skip the plugins for later on because we have some major breaking news that just came out over social media this evening, say maybe about 7, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I want you guys to grab yourself a stiff drink or a strong cup of coffee because this news that I'm going to break to you guys is going to blow your mind. I had originally had a whole list of news articles I want to discuss firsthand. However, as I'm getting my kids ready for bed, my phone was just going crazy in my bedroom. And I'm thinking to myself, like, what the heck is going on? And one of the first things that I saw on my Twitter, I had a message from Michael Gross. Shout out to him. He's one of our fellow patrons on the show asking me if I had heard about the releases. Now, mind you, I'm thinking he's talking about the releases that happened this past Wednesday. These were non-wrestlers. These are people like work in the office out of corporate. But little did I know, when he started sending me some of the names of the talent that was released this evening, I was speechless. So I wanted to wait a few hours to kind of cross-reference this information and confirm some of the names before I recorded. So I'm recording right now. It's 9:22 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This information has not been confirmed by WWE as I'm recording this. However, here is a list as follows of the talent that has been released, and this list I retained from Sean Rossap of Fightful.com. We have Keith Lee, Karrion Kross, Scarlett, Nia Jax, Eva Marie, B-Fab from Hit Row, Maya Yim, Harry Smith, Gran Metalik, Lance Dorado, Frankie Monette, Ember Moon, Ani Lorcan, Jesse Kamiya, Zeta Reimer, Trey Baxter, Katrina Cortez, and Jet Rahmer. I will apologize, guys, if I probably butchered some of those names, as some of the names I'm not familiar with. I'm assuming these are some of the up-and-coming NXT talent. But according to Sapp, he wrote that the budget cuts were cited as the reason for the releases in an email from John Laurinaitis. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I really want you to keep this in mind. The WWE's third quarter earnings report was released today at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The WWE reported that they earned $255.8 million in revenue. I'm going to say that again. The WWE reported an earnings of $255.8 million. But yet, the WWE has decided to fire 18 wrestlers due to quote-unquote budget cuts. I wish somebody would really explain to me what just happened, because I'm sorry, this has nothing to do with budget cuts. Now, mind you, people like Keith Lee and Karrion Kross, Nia Jax, Eva Marie, there wasn't really a lot going on for them story-wise. I mean, you know, Keith literally is going under the new Bearcat persona, which a lot of us knew was not going anywhere. Karrion Kross came up from NXT, won a bunch of matches, and then he just disappeared. Scarlett, we hadn't seen her since Karrion Kross actually debuted on the main roster. Nia Jax and Eva Marie had been off screen since the infamous, you know, Shayna Baszler incident where she broke their shoulders, arms, or whatever they were quoting it as. But I do know from social media, I think Eva Marie is currently filming a movie. And then we have B-Fab from Hit Row, who literally, they just were drafted from NXT to SmackDown, and they literally are just hitting the ground running, and yet you're going to release her? I don't get it, guys. I'm pretty sure nobody can really make sense of this right now. but I do wish each of this talent nothing but the best. You know, people are already speculating they're going to go to AEW, but some people are saying that the rosters are getting packed at AEW, so, you know, they might go to Impact. And then some people are saying, you know, some of these wrestlers might be at the point where they might look at other streams of income and not even go back into professional wrestling, which it's really a shame when you hear statistics of the WWE making millions of dollars in revenue. Not losing, making millions of dollars in revenue, and they just decide to release this talent. I spoke with Matt earlier. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to join me tonight to talk about the releases, but he did say that he's definitely going to give his two cents in here shortly, given his thoughts on these recent releases. And shout out to everybody that hit me up tonight. Again, Michael Gross, Michael Ritter, DJ Kuzmo. The Discord chat was just going berserk tonight with these releases. So you guys, if you're not on Patreon, this is a plug-in to definitely get on, because when stuff like this breaks, we definitely talk about it in the Discord chat. So staying on track with the releases that have been reported, there was an article that I found from Wrestling Inc. This is by Mark Middleton, that was titled WWE Office Departure Reportedly Shocks Many Within the Company. So there were reportedly multiple WWE office departures this week. Longtime WWE Senior Vice President of Creative Services Stan Stasky was reportedly released on Wednesday, according to PW Insider. Stasky had been with the company for almost 15 years. Stasky joined WWE back in 2006 as a vice president of creative services and was promoted in March of 2012 to the SVP role. Stasky's departure shocked many within the company on Wednesday. One person described the departure as the ultimate proof no one is safe, and yet another reminder that this isn't the same company it was a year ago. It was expected that more departures will be confirmed soon, but Stasky was the most high-profile exit from the company on Wednesday. Stay tuned in that, and mind you, when I printed this article, this was about 2 o'clock this afternoon, and at the end of the article, it actually mentions, stay tuned to WWE, will report their 2021 quarter three earnings, and also rumors of possible more departures. Little did I know that several hours later, that I would be reading the list of all that talent to you guys, of just awesome talent that WWE just didn't see their full potential and just let it go to waste because of quote-unquote budget cuts. So on to our next story that was breaking news earlier this week. And I'll start off by saying I apologize that I couldn't do this as a breaking news story earlier, because I actually have a sick little one right now. So this is pertaining to AE superstar Jon Moxley. So there was a tweet that went out from Tony Khan on November the 2nd at 11:33 p.m., and this article also is from Ryan Glasspiegel from the New York Post. So, Jon Moxley, a prominent wrestler in AEW, formerly known as Dean Ambrose in WWE, is entering a rehab for alcohol. The news was announced by AEW founder Tony Khan late Tuesday night via Twitter, and this tweet reads, "Jon Moxley has allowed me to share with you that he is entering an inpatient alcohol treatment program." Excuse me. "John is a beloved member of the AEW family. We all stand with him and Renee and all of his family and friends as he shifts his focus to recovery. John is making a very brave choice to get help, and we are embracing his choice and supporting him however we can. I'm proud to call John a friend, and like many of you, I am also a fan of Mox and look forward to a time in the future when he is eventually ready to return to the ring. Until then, thank you for supporting John and respecting his privacy at this time." Tony Khan concluded his message by urging others who need help to call SAMHSA, National Helpline, at 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-4357. I'm sure I speak for everyone here at the WWE podcast when we wish John Moxley nothing but the best and for a speedy recovery with his alcohol addiction. For those of you that, you know, have family or friends that have any type of addiction, you know this the toll that it can take on a person. And it's so brave of John to be open about his struggles and actually wanting to get the help that he needs. It speaks volumes about a person, because stuff like this, it's not easy, especially when you're in the public eye 24/7, as these wrestlers are. But we do respect his privacy. Again, we wish him and Renee and his family nothing but the best. And again, just a touch base on the hotline. Again, if you or someone needs help, the number again is 1-800-662-4357. And then also too, guys, do not forget that John Moxley's book actually was released on this Tuesday, November the 2nd. I'm going to be ordering it here this weekend, because there were a couple of excerpts from the book that were screenshot on Twitter here and there, where he talked about his time in the WWE. He talked about Brody Lee. It's some of the experts that I read. It just sounds like a really, I just strongly urge you guys, definitely, definitely get this book. So, continuing on with talking about AEW, I seen a lot going on yesterday on social media about Chris Jericho, and there was blips here and there about mispronouncing or misspelling a name, and I'm like, what's going on? So this article here, I got from Wrestling Inc. By Saya Mohan. The article is titled, Chris Jericho calls out AEW star for misspelling Brody Lee's name, and Amanda Hubbard reacts. As we've noted, former WWE star Kalisto, now going by Samurai Del Sol, made his AEW debut on this week's Dynamite. Del Sol and the AAA star Aerostar answered FTR's open challenge for the AAA World Tag Team titles, but couldn't come out with the victory. After Dynamite went off the air, Del Sol took to Twitter and revealed that he prayed and spoke to late Brody Lee before his first match ever for AEW. Del Sol wrote, "Prayed and talked to John, Brody Lee, before my match. Thank you for showing me your home at AEW and giving me the strength and energy I needed today. Forever in your heart, Hermano." Chris Jericho took issue with Del Sol's misspelling Lee's real name, John, J-O-N, as J-O-H-N. And when Jericho received pushback from fans for his response, Amanda Hubbard, the wife of Lee, came to his support. So the tweet that I remember seeing from Chris Jericho stated that, I believe he said either you spelled his name wrong or you misspelled his name. I can't remember specifically. But then Amanda Hubbard, who those of you that don't know, is Brody Lee's wife, she wrote, "Yeah, not an excuse to spell someone's name wrong if you're name dropping." And then she put out another tweet that says, "Why is that ? I feel like it is a reasonable to expect a level of respect of spelling someone's name right if you want to name drop them." I'm just going to come out and say this. I really feel like she's being a little bit extra right now. I mean, it's not like, I'll just call him Kalisto, sorry, because that's just what I'm so used to knowing him by. It's not like he came out and was just trying to do this out of publicity. Like, okay, I'm going to talk about that I prayed and I spoke to Brody Lee just so he can get all this publicity and positive attention on him. He didn't have to come out and say something like this. I mean, I feel like he was genuinely coming from a place in his heart when he wrote this tweet. And for Jericho to just be, I'm going to call him a Twitter troll, and just be like, oh, you spelt his name wrong. And then for his wife to kind of clap back and just make it seem like he's being disrespectful because he spelt his name wrong. I mean, it's just absurd to me. As you guys know, you cannot edit tweets on Twitter. So maybe he didn't realize at first that, you know, he spelt the name wrong. And then once he realized it, he was like, well, I don't want to delete the tweet and I can't edit it, so I'll just leave it as is. I don't think he expected the comments from Chris Jericho and Brody Lee's wife to go that way. I'm sorry. You might disagree with me. I feel like she was just being extra. Anyways, so on to the next story. There is an NXT star whose contract is set to expire in December. So this is coming from the Bleacher Report on November 3rd by Doric Sam. The article is reading, WWE NXT star Kyle O'Reilly's contract is reportedly expiring in December, according to PW Insider's Mike Johnson. O'Reilly signed with NXT in 2007 and is best known for being part of the Undisputed Era alongside Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, and Roderick Strong. Cole and Fish are no longer with the company, while Strong is the current NXT Cruiserweight Champion. Cole left NXT and made his debut with AEW in September at the promotion's All Out pay-per-view. Fish has wrestled for multiple companies since being released from NXT in August, including MLW and AEW. While O'Reilly's exact contract expiration date is not yet known, he will potentially become the third former member of the Undisputed Era never to wrestle full-time on the WWE's main roster. Unfortunately, like I said previously, I'm not too familiar with NXT because I barely have time to watch it. But shout out to Zach Smith, who does our NXT review. That's how I can kind of get caught up on what's going on over there. It really, honestly, it would not surprise me if Kylie O'Reilly decides to not sign a new contract in December because, like the article says, you have Bobby Fish, you have Adam Cole, you have Roderick Strong, who all are no longer with the company because the WWE could not utilize them, to be on the main roster and not see their full potential. So to be quite honest, if I was Mr. O'Reilly, I would probably not sign my contract and go somewhere else. So the next thing I want to talk about is about AJ Styles. Matt kind of spoke on this briefly about AJ Styles being absent from wrestling the past couple weeks. I tried to do as much digging as I could. The most that I could find was from the Wrestling Observer that was reporting that AJ Styles is out with a non-injury medical issue, and the timetable for his return is unknown. The report didn't elaborate as to what the medical issue is, because the last time we have seen AJ Styles is since they lost the match to RK-Bro at the WWE Crown Jewel pay-per-view in Saudi Arabia. So I will keep you guys updated as soon as I hear anything new regarding this. But we do wish AJ Styles nothing from the best, depending on, you know, what his situation is going on right now. Excuse me for one second, guys. A lot of news article had to take a water break. So, Bayley dropped a cryptic tweet the other day regarding a possible return to WWE. So this article is coming from Sportskeeda by Philippa Marie. It was modified on November the 4th. So the article is reading that Bayley has been out of action for almost 3 months after she suffered an ACL injury in the build-up to the WWE's Money in the Bank event in July. Despite reports suggesting that the former women's champion could be out of action until 2022, Bayley seems to be teasing that her return could be coming soon. Bayley recently tweeted out a cryptic update when she shared a picture of her new haircut, which, by the way, if you guys have not seen this tweet, check out her page. pretty dope haircut. So in the post, she shared a mysterious message about how fans will know when it's time. And the quote is going to read, "We rarely think about the fundamental nature of time. But when it's time, you will know damn sure. @DodoBee, #remodel, #role model. The former women's champion also used remodel as a hashtag, which seems to hint that she could be having a new character upon her return." I find this pretty exciting. I mean, I like Bailey's character as it was before she left. Her laugh is undesirable, unfortunately, for me. It's just not for me. It's kind of like the Seth Rollins laugh a little bit gets on my nerves after, and Sasha Banks after some time. But it would be pretty interesting to see what she could do with a new character. We definitely need Bailey back. The roster is lacking. It would be interesting to see her come up against Charlotte Flair when she returns. I'm not sure, you know, if they would keep her as a heel or return her as a babyface. I personally would like her to stay a heel, but we will see how that goes, and I will keep you guys updated. So there was an article that I also found this afternoon. This is regarding Bray Wyatt. Now, mind you, this isn't any new update regarding movie career or where he's going to be wrestling to. But this article was stating that it was reported that Bray Wyatt was disliked by Vince McMahon before his WWE release. So this article is coming to us from Wrestling Inc. by Saya Mohan, and it's reading, "During his final few months in the WWE, Bray Wyatt was no longer liked by WWE Chairman Vince McMahon, according to Fightful Select. The report noted that Wyatt was outspoken when he felt creative was bad, and this led to his strained relationship with McMahon. Furthermore, Wyatt and Randy Orton were reportedly not happy with the creative direction or outcome of their WrestleMania 37 match, which was changed 2 days before the show. It was also noted the original plan for Orton to take time off after the match, but it was Wyatt who ended up being written off WWE TV. Excuse me. In addition, several WWE superstars approached Orton and Wyatt and expressed to them that they felt bad about the plans for WrestleMania's match getting changed. Although Orton, Wyatt, and Alexa Bliss's storyline lasted for more than 6 months, Fightful was told there was never a true creative endgame for that story. The report added that WWE Creative was told about frustration around the Burned Fiend angle, specifically the size, weight, and movement of the suit. Wyatt told WWE's writers that he believed the suit was too heavy and that he would have trouble wrestling with it. This led to the suit being scrapped in time for WrestleMania. While Wyatt was told that his release was budget cut related, it's unclear if that was specifically cited to Wyatt himself. This created a lot of frustration among the roster, staff, and employees alike, with many reaching out to Fightful after Wyatt's release, stating there had to be more to it, considering Wyatt was a known moneymaker. Furthermore, a consensus was that almost nobody in the company truly believed Wyatt was let go due to budget cuts, citing the Fiend's popularity and merchandise sales. Wyatt's release led to several other longtime stars worrying about their job security, despite of their positions on the card or prior pushes. And as you all are aware, Wyatt officially became a free agent on November the 2nd. You know, this was kind of eye-opening to me when I first read the article, specifically talking about how it makes a lot of sense that, of course, there was more to it regarding his release, because, like the article states, the Fiend character was making so much money on merchandise. Like, I would love to see the actual numbers on the merchandise sales that the Fiend character actually made. But yet we're giving this pretty much BS answer of he being cut because of quote-unquote budget cuts. It actually doesn't surprise me that there probably was a lot of tension between Vince McMahon and Bray Wyatt, because I think Bray Wyatt just got to the point where he's like, I'm sick of being in these stupid storylines, and the creative is horrible. And he knew his worth. He knew he was worth more than what the WWE was trying to do with him. And even Randy Orton, it says in this article that, you know, they probably were pretty pissed off at the fact that how everything was going with this angle. And then they decide, of course, it's got to be Vince. You want to make changes at the last minute. It's head scratching. It's mind boggling. But again, wish Bray nothing but the best. Can't wait to see where he's going, whether it's going to be with a wrestling promotion or not wrestling promotion. Alrighty, so just some other miscellaneous stuff I wanted to go over with you guys. There was a thing that got published on WWE.com on November the 1st. There is going to be a WrestleMania 38 on sale party on Wednesday, November the 10th at 5:30 p.m. Central Standard Time at AT&T Stadium. So any of you guys that live in the area, the article is reading as follows. WrestleMania will once again descend on the AT&T Stadium for a two-night celebration on Saturday, April 2nd and Sunday, April the 3rd, 2022. The kickoff event, the official WrestleMania on sale party, will take place at the stadium on Wednesday, November the 10th at 5:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. It says join WWE, AT&T Stadium, and the Dallas Sports Commission for a live in-ring matches featuring NXT superstars, WWE superstars, autograph signings, kids activities, music, official WWE merchandise, and more. The WrestleMania on-sale party will also give fans an exclusive opportunity to purchase their mobile WrestleMania tickets before they become available to the general public on Friday, November the 12th at 10 a.m. via SeatGeek.com. The WrestleMania on-sale party is free, family-friendly, and open to the public. All fans in attendance will receive an exclusive WrestleMania souvenir ticket. WWE superstars scheduled to appear include WWE Champion Big E, WWE Women's Tag Team Champions Rhea Ripley and Nikki A.S.H., WWE 24/7 Reggie, Doudrop, The Street Profits, Dana Brooke, WWE Hall of Famer Jimmy Mouth of the South Hart, and a special appearance by WWE legend The Undertaker. Mind you, it does say talent is subject to change. For details and more information, please visit DallasWrestleMania.com. The gates for the WrestleMania on-sale party will open at 5 p.m. Central Time, and the event will run from 5:30 to 8 p.m. Free parking is available in lots 4 and 5 at the AT&T Stadium. Mobile WrestleMania tickets will be available for purchase beginning at 5 p.m. Central Time. Also, make sure bags larger than 12 by 6 by 12 inches, backpacks, or wrap packages are not permitted. So if you guys live near that stadium, this sounds like this is going to be an amazing event. I'm super jealous for any of you guys that live in the Dallas area and can go to this. Hey, if you do, definitely, you know, give us feedback on the podcast or send us pictures, because we would love to hear your experience. There has been a lot of talk about Survivor Series. I mean, it's getting ready to be November the 21st. We have not been told of any matches. No teams being set up. No build-up feuds. I have done a lot of research on it this afternoon. I looked at WWE.com and any rumor websites. The pay-per-view is still scheduled to go on November the 21st. There's been no announcements or anything like that, any rumors about the show being moved or canceled. So I know some people kind of touch base on this, but as it's reporting, the pay-per-view is still going on as follows. And though, even though The Rock is not appearing at Survivor Series, the WWE is actually still celebrating his debut from 25 years ago at Survivor Series. They've pretty much been doing a lot of stuff on social media and WWE.com, so you guys can check that out if you're interested. So other than that, I want to thank you guys again for tuning in for this edition of the News Brief. If this is your first time listening, welcome and thank you guys again for joining me tonight. Sorry we had to kind of start off on a somber note, but unfortunately, that's how it goes sometimes in professional wrestling. So if you guys are not currently subscribed on Patreon, please do so. Just remember, if you for $1 a month, you get all of our amazing shows ad-free. And there's other tier levels with other amazing perks. Sorry, guys. I just feel like I can't talk tonight. My apologies for just all of my little glitches tonight. I promise I'll do better. And then don't forget, we're also on the Apple Store for just $2.99 a month. Definitely huge shout outs. Do not forget to listen to the mailbag if you have not done so this week. Mr. and Mrs. Casually Wrestling Fan were on there. I actually listened to it when I was at work today, and it was awesome. I loved it. So go listen to it. If you're listening to me right now, after you get done listening to me, go listen to the mailbag. And also, guys, don't forget to follow the podcast on social media at wrestling_audio on Twitter or on Instagram at WWE_podcast. You can also send an email to realwwepodcast@gmail.com, or you can call 518-952-0247 to leave a voicemail. If you guys want, you can follow me on Twitter at Amanda_Jen. I'm also on Instagram, but I rarely get on Instagram. I'm on it here and there, but you guys are more than welcome to send me an invite. My name on there is SleepMom989. And also, please feel free to send me an email anytime you like the breaking news that happened tonight. You can send me a message on Twitter, on Instagram, or my email at ADG, that's Alpha Delta George, 757 at hotmail.com. Well, I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your week and weekend. If nothing else happens, then I have to come on and do some more breaking news. You guys be safe, and I will talk to you guys next time.